If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill at its lowest price ever and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first and only GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Based on advertised cash price for 30-day supply of medication only. Membership required. Fee not included, and billed separately. Weight Loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
So listen, the title is not clickbait. It's actually real, real, real. Now, let me explain.
You cannot actually fail school. I think the biggest fallacy ever given to society is that there are children who failed school. Maybe in a traditional sense, in a way that public school was made, but there's no real way to fail school, right? What is the point of school? The school point is to make you good at life. How do you get better at life, right? You get better at life by learning. But how do you get better at learning? By learning how to learn. How do you really know how to learn? By understanding your learning type. How do you understand your learning type is by understanding the way your mind works. How do you understand your mind works is by studying your mind, right? What happens when you study your mind? Once you study your mind, you start to understand yourself. You also start to understand your cognitive type, right? Once you know your cognitive type, you can set up a blueprint, right? You understand that there's different ways to teach students. When I was in class, I remember we had this teacher named Mrs. Jones, right? Mrs. Jones would teach me math. Now, the way she would tell me to get the math problem done, show your work, solve the problem in this particular linear step-by-step way. Now, me, I wasn't good at doing that. It's not the way my brain works, but I was still able to get the answer, right? I would look at the problem. I would study the pattern that I seen in it. And then by studying that pattern, I would come to a conclusion. Now, could I write that down on paper? No, absolutely not. So even though I would write the answer, right, Mrs. Jones, she would get angry. She would be like, that's not the way I told you to do your work. I want you to show your work, then put the answer. And because I could not show the work, she would mark that a failure. Or worse, they would think that you're cheating. And if they think that you're cheating, then you get in trouble. Now, this made me learn that school was not about me. It was about society, right? It was about who they can turn me into. It's not about how my mind works. It was about them developing my weaknesses and not my strengths. If they so happened to be my strength, then I would succeed in the way they told me to do it. If it not been my strength, then I would not succeed in that classroom. And so that's when I started to change my approach towards life, period. Right. It was another instance to where I remember when, you know, I stopped trusting teachers is when I remember getting in trouble. And the teacher asked me to recount events. So I started to recount the events, right? The teacher said, that's not the way I remember it. And then I'm like, well, this is what happened. And then the teacher said, in front of my mother, are you calling me a liar? And I said, well, I'm not saying that I'm a liar. You know what I mean? And so basically I said, yes. And I got in trouble for that. And then I realized another lesson that people do not want the truth. They want conformity. They want control. They want authority. It has nothing to do with being truthful at all, which means they didn't care if I was truthful. That was the lesson that I learned during that particular class. Right. And then I had teachers that did teach me very well, right? And I never knew why I liked this teacher. And it was because they taught differently, right? They taught with different type of illustration, different type of examples, stories, narratives. And so typically when you grow up in a poverty-based society and environment, you have large classroom sizes. So they don't have time to teach in multiple different ways, because you can teach one subject in multiple different ways and it will allow a broader audience to understand it. There's this concept that we call general intelligence, that if you teach this general concept in a certain way, that everybody will get it, right? But it discounts for the different types of thinkers, the different type of cognitive styles, right? There are some people who work very well within a system. They're very linear in their thinking. They're not skipping process, and they're good at memorization and focus. Those are the people who did very good in school. There are other people like myself who will have fast pattern recognition, metacognition, right? Who think in blocks, who might skip steps, right? Who do not think in linear steps. So for us, right, structure works in a sense as long as it's built around the way our brain works. But it's not work if you're trying to force me into a system. I'm better off looking at this system, recognizing a pattern. I'm very, very fast, but in my own way. And then I'm better at creating my own. But school was not about you creating new systems. School was about taking a particular type of thinker and discarding the rest that were unnecessary for society. Because we always lived in a pattern-based society, a permission-based society. And then social media came around. Social media allowed people to write their own rules, to create their own systems, to see things however they want to. Things that were weaknesses became strength. You might be a student that talk a lot, right? And so I remember when I was in class and I did Upward Bound. It was an extracurricular outside of school. And we used to have to write these essays. And I remember the way I would write them. It was the way that I could visualize and see the story. And I always hated the structured storytelling way that the world always wanted you to do it, or school, I should say. Because I'm like, that doesn't sound like me. And you're trying to force, right, my personality and my thinking type to fit inside of these parameters. And so I would write the story the way it best sounded in my mind. And so when I would read the story, I would get an A because it would sound amazing. But then when I handed the story into the teacher, of course, grammatically, it was all sort of incorrect. So therefore, I would not pass. And then I would always think that this was an unfair way, right? Because I never wanted to be good at telling a story like everybody else. I only wanted to strengthen my way because when I heard the story, it sounded good. So I knew that even if I got good at that thing, it would not appease me, right? Because I'm always wondering the why. That's just the way my brain works. And so getting into all of this, I say that because we have a society that is stuck on, right, trying to build out certain type of thinkers, and the rest of us never had a platform for our intelligence until social media came around. You're able to create videos based on the way you think videos should be made, the way you think shows should be made, the way you think thumbnails should be made, the way you think information should be presented, right? And so now you're able to have this free ability and creative ability to create whatever you want to build out your own world. And you realize that you started to become successful, not from working within a system, right? But by studying the system. And when you study the system, you start to understand how it worked and what needed to be changed. And so what I've learned that is school is for the poor, because rich people don't send them children for public school. Public school are for poor children, right? To specifically work for rich people or people that are system thinkers. Right. That's what it was designed for. It was designed for industrial capitalism so that we can take particular minds that have the cognitive style for memorization that fits within their system. Right. That can excel within that system, that are good for studying and or learning authority and working for other people. Right. And so this left out a large group of students. So I started to think about it. I said, wait a minute. Can you actually fail in school if school is designed to help you improve yourself? Right. Then no, that means that school really, and you really think about it, can only fail you. If you only have one style of teaching, right? And yes, 70% of students get that, 50% of good students get that. What that means is that style of teaching is only good for 50% of students. Doesn't mean the other 50% needs to increase will, increase discipline, go harder, da 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 da. I think that has been the problem for a very long time with the world, is that they've been trying to force, right, everybody to fit inside of square. And when you really get down to it and you say, wait a minute, what if they just changed the teaching style? What if children are able to learn in different ways, learn the way visual learners would learn, learn the way kinesthetic intelligence learn, interpersonal intelligence, right? There are people who are twice exceptional, who are gifted, right? Fast learners, but they are different in their giftedness. So they learn in different ways. They might need examples. They might need visual aid to go along with it, right? They might learn in conversation, silence, right? They might learn in stories and narratives. And so these are people that can excel when they start working for themselves and entrepreneurs, not people when they're working for other entrepreneurs. This is why some people just yearn and say, man, I feel like I'm not living my purpose. And what you really feel like is that you don't fit inside this space that you're at. And the reason that most people don't succeed is not because they need more discipline and need more willfulness. They just need more understanding of themselves. When you understand the way your brain works, you understand the way your cognition works, then you can just build your life around that. Me as a thought leader, I understood that I was never going to choose between all these different things that I'm interested in to do one thing, even though the world told me one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, one thing, pick, quit trying to be a jack of all trades. And I'm like, but my brain is always making connections between multiple different things, and I'm still able to hold it at a high level. So why wouldn't I do that, right? And so I said, I'm going to be a thought leader specifically because I understood that this is going to be the best way for me to build a life around my cognitive style. Now, this becomes one of the biggest keys that if you learn this, I believe you can start building wealth for your life, that you're closer to wealth than you actually think you are. You may be closer to a million than you are at zero. And it's really small tweaks in the way you go about living your life. What I currently did is I built out an AI blueprint. And what I did was I studied myself. I've been studying myself for a very long time, but AI allows me to study myself and get faster feedback than any other system that I've ever dealt with. And it allowed me to really build out a cognitive blueprint for how my mind works, right? When I did this, I was able to take this blueprint and I was able to give this to friends, right? And I'm able to give this to people, co-workers, right, business partners and things of that nature, so they know how my mind works. They know how to present information for me. They know what I prioritize. They know that the way my cognitive style works is that you have to tell me the why before you tell me the what, because my brain won't even be able to process the ability to care about it until you tell me the why. I need blocks of information. You might think I'm not paying attention, but that's only because my brain processes stuff so fast. I'm going to be the type of person that tells you direct. Right. And that's because I'm respecting your cognitive style, saying that I think you can learn fast. Right. I also collect patterns very fast. So when you tell me things, I probably already understood what you're going to say before you finish the sentence. So if it looks like I'm lacking interest, it's that my brain is already calculating something else based on me already understanding what you mean. Right. I need things in bulletin points summarized for me. I don't need the whole entire story when you're giving me information. And so once I start giving that to, right, people, they are able to understand the way my mind works. Now it creates a much better flow. I understand how to get myself in flow, right? I understand that sometimes when I'm trying to prepare for stuff, like my brain works really well in chaos, right? Case in point, for when I was going to speak to the president of Uganda, it was a very interesting set of circumstances. We was at his house and we were surrounded by his whole entire administration. You have people that are trying to tell me what to say, what I cannot say, et cetera. And it was a high pressure situation because I did not know how much time I was going to get. And I'm going to talk about this later on Patreon. But I remember to activate my flow, right? That it doesn't even matter. Let me get into what my best flow is. One of my flow is activated by posture, stomach in, chest out, head up. When my posture is clear, my brain thinks to get into more confidence. I go into a 6-4-4 breath meditation, right? This allowed me to activate, get clarity of thought, right? I ask myself a question, right? Because inquiry is the best way to get your mind activated. Most of the time, people are thinking about the answer. I'm thinking about the question.
Then I think about what is actually important for me to say and not to say. What is the point of this? My brain has to think about high level. So this activates me in that moment to start thinking high level. I never learned any of this from school. I never learned any of this from teachers. I never learned these things. Yet they had the audacity to fail me in class because they didn't know how my mind worked. Right. But in that moment, I was able to activate instantly. Right. And I was able to make the best out of a situation. So they never studied my cognitive type, yet they're trying to teach me. And that to me just doesn't make any sense. How can you teach somebody that you don't understand? So now you're expecting this child that is adolescent that don't understand themselves yet, because nobody's teaching them about their own cognition, to go in there. Right. And then to learn subjects. Right. And learn skills. Yet you're not teaching them the way that their mind works. See, once you really get into this and you get deep into this, now you know how to, you know, build your own frameworks, build your IP, build your brand around your the way your mind works, right? You know, I mean, I got it down to a way to where I know the content type that I should make. I know how to activate my brain in an interview fast to get me to deliver flow mode, right? And so I want to be able to do this now for you, for the world, because I believe that school failed us all. In my first book, y'all know I wrote about this, abstract thinking versus technical thinking, right? And so now I've mastered this on another level, and I'm studying this deeper and deeper and deeper as I go, just the cognitive sciences around this. There are other things that I think were not taught in school, but we're not going to get too deep into that. One of them, though, is ADHD. Attention hyperdeficit disorder. And the reason I think that this is a bad thing that wasn't taught, that divergence, neurodivergence, right, is because we always taught that people have ADHD. You put people on medicine, but you never actually told them what it was. Now, this to me makes no sense, right? So you're saying that most children have ADHD, but there is no real bulletin for teaching people how it works. Now, one thing I'll tell you about it is that you have a part of the brain that has hyperfrontality, right? Which is the frontal part of your brain that is particularly there for focus, right? When this is of low stimulation, right? You constantly need stimulation in order for you to be able to focus. So why you think you can focus on your phone so much, right? And you can't focus in regular life. The reason that you can focus on the phone is because it's constantly giving and feeding you stimulation. And you constantly need it, sort of like an addict that constantly needs to do drugs in order to feel something, right? It's the same way your brain gets when you watch a short form content. So therefore, what ends up happening is that you start searching for novelty. Throughout history, human beings always search for novelty, right? But what this does is it activates that particular part of the region of the brain that stimulates dopamine. So your brain is constantly getting this hit of feel goodness. Now, this is not a good thing because it leaves you addicted to these short dopamine pulses instead of being able to activate the executive function of your brain that is focused on long-term thinking. So what it does is it shortens your time span. So now your brain is constantly looking for a hook, looking for something online to make it feel something. So you can focus on that because your brain is stuck scrolling, 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 looking, 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 never satisfied, because that small hit that you get is not enough to satisfy your brain. Now, people who can think in long term, focus on long term projects, right? They can have delayed gratification. So therefore, they don't need that constant hit every time, right? They're more so thinking about the hit that they're going to get when the project is complete. So they have a healthier brain function, right? And so you were not taught about this. So therefore, once you're given a social media and you're given these instant gratification things, going out, drinking, smoking, sex, social life, things of that nature, these are all things that give you a quick dopamine hit. Right. And so without understanding ADHD, a lot of people are failing to understand their relationship with time, because it also makes you time blind, because you're only focusing and trying to get over stress, anxiety and feel good. Right. You're not thinking about nothing for the next week, nothing for the next month. Your brain forms from an early age. You start being able to go through chronons, which are seconds, increments of time in seconds. As you're going through adolescence, you start being able to think of time in minutes.
as you go through teenage years, you start thinking of time, right, in hours. And then as you continue to go through young junior years, your brain develops. You're able to think going into, you know, days and weeks and months, right? And most people never get to years. So when we think about cognitively, people have what scientists call temporal blindness, right? An inability to feel the future. Your mind cannot organize itself over time. Now, once you understand this about yourself, and you can really understand that, you can understand why you're not getting certain things done, why you're not executing certain tasks. It's nothing to do with your discipline, and a lot of people think it is, right? Is that you have a lack of understanding the way that your mind and your brain is actually working. And once you have this understanding, then you can start building a life and habits around that so that you can start winning. Right. So it's not that you need more discipline, because no matter what you do neurologically, your brain is not going to change. Right. Unless, of course, you start fasting and you start getting away from novelty, you get away from comparison. Right. You allow your brain to be in a stable manner to where, you know, they call it raw dogging nowadays, to where you're going completely without your phone, technology, computers and all of that. And then it resets your brain and so that you can get back to task focus and task oriented things. So this is why today, if we're in a world to where they're finding more ways to attack your attention than ever, the focus of the future, the asset of the future, is cognition, right? If you want to know how to be successful in the future, you're going to need to know your cognitive type. Nobody cares about your resume anymore, right? So now you need to know what type of thinker you are, how to activate yourself, what gets you into long-term thinking. Is your brain one that is focused on fast pattern cognition? Is your brain is one that works best in synthesizing information, grabbing concepts, right? What is your brain good for? And then what you're going to do is you're going to optimize on that. So what's happening now is that there's a new type of cognition that's happening because of AI. So AI allows a new type of cognitive thinking to appear, because the time that it takes for a person to have to simulate ideas inside the mind is decreasing, because you're able to automatically get that relay feedback from AI. You ask it something, you're able to simulate it within that AI, so you no longer have to simulate judgment in your mind, right? So now you're going into this external systems that we're utilizing so that you can start maximizing your cognition, and you're going to start seeing a change in the planet, and specifically cognitive on how people think. And once it changes globally, how people think, how they interact. And here's the thing. And this is why you got to be happy if you're in a place that has 5G internet and a place that have access to AI, because countries that don't yet have access to it, these are the ones that's going to lag behind cognitively. Why? Because their brain is not going to go through those changes yet. Now, it's not such a bad thing, because in some ways, right, when they finally do become online and they finally do get AI, right, things of that nature, it's going to interact with the way their brain works. And what we want is cognitive diversity. We want different type of thinkers in harmony with each other. Some people work unstructured. Some people work structured. Some people work linear. Some people work nonlinear. Some people need step by step. Some people think in chunks, right? Some people are the vision. Some people are the execution. And so once we get to a point where people are able to understand their cognitive type, it makes it immensely easier to work with other different people, because all you have to do is say, this is the way my mind works. Okay, do you fit, right? And inside this team framework to say, okay, we don't have somebody who thinks like this over here, and that's why we're incomplete. Because most projects stall is because it's a bunch of the same thinkers, right, in a circle together. Most of the time, we get my friends together and we are visionaries. So, of course, we align on a vision, but we need somebody to do a lot of the executive work, right? And because we live in a time, day, and age where when somebody does the vision, there's a real disrespect for visionaries a lot, because there's an expectation for you to also do the execution. And that's not what your brain is best at, because the execution often requires a lot of small details. And there's only certain minds that is very rare that can do both at the same time, right? And if school would have taught you this, then you would have known exactly not to go look for a career, right? You would have looked at what works for your mind. But instead, they gave you boxes to check and told you to go live your life based on these boxes. They didn't give you a mind to understand to live your life based on the way your mind works,
right? So I developed a whole entire platform on this, and I'm actually going to teach you to do a whole challenge on this. And it's the cognitive wealth key. It's basically, once you understand the way your mind works, you learn how to build wealth and make money. You learn how to create your brand, create your books, your digital assets, right? You're able to build out your personal brand, right? You're able to understand your communication type, the way you're supposed to lead, the way you think, the way you work in teams. Then you're able to get a cognitive blueprint to where you can literally print it out, right? Study yourself and then give this to others to study to you as well. This will not make your life easier. It will make your life greater, right? Because you don't really need life to become easier. You just need to understand life. I just came from the gym. And the reason I say that is because no weight actually gets lighter. It never happens. I've never picked up a weight and it got lighter. What happens is I got stronger, right? And as you understand yourself more, basically you get stronger in your understanding. And you realize you don't need the weight to get lighter. You just need to get stronger. So a 20-pound weight is, you may feel light to you, but that is relative to your strength. So life is based on relative to your understanding. So just wanted to share that with y'all on Substack real quick. I had these thoughts while I was driving to the Uber anyway. That's how I let my thought flow. Y'all have a blessed one. I know people been hitting me up for coaching and consultation. I will be opening it up for 2026. I'm going to be opening up 10 slots, but it's only for high-level elite creators and leaders, right, that are already at a high level that need that cognitive key and that blueprint so that they can reach another level of performance in life, you know. So if you believe that's you, right, you can DM me on Instagram, and then we can get you on the schedule to start this consultation and this coaching going into 2026. And peace to the family.